Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing this service time. Lord, we thank you for your word and its power to impact us. And Lord, I pray that you would allow us to see things in your word and to understand it better. Lord, help us to draw closer to you. And Father, we do pray that your name would receive all the glory and praise. And Lord, we do thank you for all of those things wherein you have blessed us, both the beautiful weather, the strength and health that you've given us, the families that you've given to us, and the time that we have to spend it in love and service to you. And Lord, we thank you once again for your beautiful word and how wonderful and precious it is to us. In Jesus' precious name, we thank you. Amen. We have here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, as it were, the topic of tonight's message, which is to be justified by faith. Not doers of works for salvation, but believers in the true one, followers of Christ. It's been said that there are two religions in the world, that there is the religion of do thou, do thou, do thou, and the religion of done. It is done. It is finished. We are ones who believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation. We are not in that way like all other religions, because we look to Jesus alone for salvation and not our works. We don't earn our salvation or maintain our salvation by our actions. Instead, it is only Jesus Christ who is our justification. And so we'll read this again in Galatians 2:16, and actually we'll work down a few other few verses to the end of the chapter. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. And really, this is a good summary right here. This believing in Jesus Christ brings us justification by faith of Christ. This is a good definition of someone who is, as we often say, saved, or someone who has security in Christ. We know we are bound for heaven. We know that we are children of God because we believe. We are not justified by our works, but rather by our faith. In verse 17 it says, "But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And we'll pause there for just a moment. Paul was speaking on one subject, and now he's changed topics. He is still speaking about the fact that doing the law or failing to do the law is not what makes us of Christ. It is belief in Christ that justifies us, and it is that belief and love of Christ, the faith of the Son of God, as he puts it there in verse 20, that causes us to live a Christ-like life. It is not about works. It's not you got saved and now you have to do these works in order to maintain your salvation. But rather, we are changed because we believe in Jesus, the Son of God. We could make a study in this passage just looking at the descriptors of Jesus. He's called Christ. He's called Son of God. He is called Jesus Christ. He is called a... there was one more. Anyway, we've got a number of descriptors of Christ, and so that would be a fun study. If ever you get a chance, just look back and see how Jesus is described in this passage. But we have here faith in Christ being the foundation for our justification, our salvation, and our life currently and to come. Paul says in verse 21, he finishes up, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." Our righteousness is not based upon how good we are. Let's make this simple, okay? Let's make this simple, boil it down, and we'll try not to lose too much of the idea by boiling it down and making it simpler. There aren't categories of Christians. You don't have top tier, second tier, third tier, fourth tier Christians. You have those who know Christ, those who follow Him, and they are Christians. They are in one basket. And then you have those who do not know Jesus, those who do not believe in Him, those who are not relying upon Him, those who are not justified. They are in a different basket. They are not Christians at all. They are not of Christ. They do not belong to Him. Their life isn't in Him. They do not live in Him. Their righteousness is filthy rags because they do not have Christ. Our righteousness is Christ. Our righteousness is Christ. That's what it says there in verse 21. If righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We aren't working our way to righteousness. We are living in Christ. Now, Jesus does not tempt us and lead us into sin. He doesn't want us to fall short. We're told in Titus that He desires us to be a peculiar people, separated unto good works. This is His intention in our life. And so if we have Christ, we have it all. If we do not have Christ, we have nothing. We have nothing. Justification, salvation, righteousness, these are all things that are imparted to us not by keeping of commandments, but by Jesus. Him alone. His death. That is what is sufficient for our salvation. If we turn now to Romans chapter 4, we'll go to a couple of passages tonight. Romans chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse... we'll just start at the beginning of the chapter. We'll read down to verse 5. What shall we say then, that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. We could spend the rest of our time on this verse. We won't, but we could. Verse 5 here, we have the true state of our souls. The true state of our souls. What we have earned by the actions or inactions that we have taken. The honest assessment of who we are is the ungodly. The ungodly. And if any of you say differently, you are looking at yourself with eyes that are twisted. You've got them rose-colored glasses on and probably a couple of other layers too, because you aren't seeing the truth. We are ungodly. That word is a very ugly word. It's a disgusting word. Ungodly here is not merely pretty good, but not quite up to God's standard. Ungodly here is pointing to how ugly it is. If we are to be assessed based on us, we are the ungodly. There never yet was anyone who reached heaven on their own merits. We are the ungodly. But notice, we are justified even though we are the ungodly. We are justified because we believe on Him. We believe on Jesus. If we believe on Him, we are justified. If we believe on Him, our faith is counted for righteousness. This is the hard to understand, but easy to accept truth that Jesus and His work is sufficient, and all we have is faith. Believe in Jesus. Trust Him. Rely upon the fact that His work of death upon the cross was sufficient. And then we are justified. We are counted righteous. This is God at work. This is God doing something that's impossible. Your ungodliness exchanged for Jesus' righteousness. As we were reading there in verses 1 through 4, you may have noted some things that are similar to a few other passages. Paul, obviously, he copied his own notes a few times because it's almost, this is a summary of something that he says in Titus, and we could go to a number of other locations where he puts it in pretty much the same terms that Abraham was justified even before he had done any works like circumcision or sacrificing his son upon the altar. And we won't go into all of those stories at this time, but Abraham believed God, and that was what was counted to him for righteousness. He was declared righteous well before any works, any actions, because he believed. He was counted righteous and given promises, promises that are amazing. Even today, we do not get those promises. Thankfully, the promises that those who come to Christ get are actually better than the ones that were given to Abraham. While Abraham's promises are without repentance, God hasn't turned His back on Abraham's seed, yet we have been promised much greater things. If we come to Jesus, He gives us an inheritance, both here on this earth and in the world to come. He gives us family. We become the children of God, crying, Abba, Father. We have the sealing of the Spirit. And we could go on to all of the wonderful gifts that come through God, promises that He has made to us just for saying yes to Jesus. That's quite an amazing thing. We are going to look in one more passage here, Ephesians chapter 2. And some of you may be asking, okay, Pastor John, what's your point? You've been saying that there's faith, and that faith is sufficient, and faith in Christ is enough, and that justifies us, brings us righteousness. Why do we need to know this? This isn't something new. And I agree with you, this is not something new. This is something that hopefully each one of you knows and can affirm and can say, yes, that's true. I know Jesus has saved me. My faith is in Him alone. But this will prevent us from going down the list of false religions who preach a works mentality. Many of the religions will pretend to put on an evangelical, especially the ones who claim to be Christians, an evangelical message. They will say, oh, you just believe in Jesus Christ. But then they'll follow it up with, and then you need to do this, and you need to wear that, and you need to, you know, attend every service, and you have to add to your faith in Jesus all of these things in order to keep or maintain your salvation. And while they will be reluctant to admit it, they don't think anyone could be actually saved and fail to keep those activities, whether it's communion or Lord's table or the sacraments. That's often the way they'll label them, sacraments of church ordinances. And they will put those as necessary for salvation. They will pretend on one hand that belief in Jesus is enough, and on the other, you have to add all of these other things. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. There we are. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There's so much in this. We are saved by grace. Saved through grace by faith. Other way around. By grace through faith. Get your bys and your throughs mixed up. It can cause quite a problem. By the way, those are actually important in English. Some of those prepositions, you get them in the wrong order, and you can really change the meaning. I eat my ice cream with a wooden spoon. Well, with can be taken a number of ways. We all understood it, though, right? I'm using a spoon to eat it. But if you eat your ice cream with a wooden spoon in the same way that you eat ice cream with chocolate toppings, that's a totally different meaning, isn't it? Because in the one case, you're using a spoon to eat the food, the ice cream. In the other, you're eating the spoon. And that's not at all good. No one likes the taste of that. So getting your prepositions right is important in English. So for by grace are you saved through faith. Make sure you get the right prepositions in there. We have the faith being mentioned again. Faith in Jesus Christ, it saves us. It rescues us. It is sufficient. We find that salvation is a gift of God. It's a gift of God. That's what it says at the end of the verse there, verse 8. It is the gift of God. It's not something that someone else had to purchase. God purchased it. You don't have to purchase it. Your dad or mom can't purchase it on your behalf by baptizing you as a baby. They can't purchase it on your behalf by coming to church and being a member of the church. It is a gift that comes to you directly from God, or it does not come at all. This faith is not of works. I want us to see the workmanship then in verse 10. There is work to be done in our life when we are saved, or we are not left the same. It is not just that God says, okay, well, you can continue on how you were before. Instead, he changes us, and it is upon him that the change and the weight of this work lies. It says, for we are his workmanship. We are crafted by him, created in Christ Jesus. This is not our efforts. This is God. He changes us. How many testimonies have you heard of people who have come to Jesus and turned their backs on things from their past? They've turned their backs on some of those outward sins immediately and completely. This doesn't mean that every Christian is perfect, that every Christian at salvation has no more room for improvement. We are still fallen, and we are being sanctified until the day of His appearing. But we should see a great and drastic change, because we are the workmanship of God's hands. He recreates us. He fashions us again. We find in verse 10 that this workmanship of God is seen then in good works which we do, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It is not that we do these works to fake it and then, you know, make things happen. But it is that God has changed us so much that even the way we walk, the way we talk, the actions that we are encouraged and enticed to do are ones that are pleasing to God. Christian, this is a bit of a challenge for us. Would you say that your life is truly a workmanship? Do you walk in light of the fact that God has changed you? Or do you go back to, as Paul calls it in another place, the beggarly elements of our former life? Do we allow sin to take control again and enchain us? Or do we cast off those weights that beset us and race towards the finish line of being approved before God? This is how we ought to see good works. This is how we ought to see salvation and faith. Faith leads to salvation, and that is without repentance. Works are the natural outcome of someone whose life has been so altered that they cannot but want to serve a precious Savior who died for them. Consider your own heart and be on the guard against those who would teach a do-do-do kind of religion instead of a done-done-done, it's finished. Jesus Christ has died for you. And that is enough. Believe today and be saved, and do not turn away. Let's close now with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that salvation is done, that there is no works to be done to earn it in the first place, nor to be added to it after. It is sufficient in itself, the work that our Savior has done upon the cross to rescue us. And all that is required is that we come and believe that Jesus would die for us and to cry out to You. Father, we ask that You would help us to be on our guard against those who would teach many false religions in regards to works and laws and maintaining outward shows rather than inward change through the finished work of our Savior. Amen.